On one occasion, during my seminary years, at the end of 1 year, another seminary came to drop by my room. He said, "You know, there's something I wanted to share with you personally before it was announced to the whole community. I've discerned that I'm not called to the priesthood, so I'm going to leave the seminary at the end of this year, and I wanted to ask for your prayers." And while I was a little disappointed, I thought the man was courageous because he was truly seeking God's will, and he did not believe that God was calling him to be a priest, and so it was time for him to go. But he said, "I wanted to ask you for another prayer as well. There's something I've never shared with anybody in my entire life. I struggle with same-sex attraction. I've never acted on it. I never want to act on it, but it's sometimes a daily struggle. I want to get married. I want to have a wife and I want to have kids, but there is this brokenness in me. And I'd like to ask if you would pray for my healing, because it needs to continue. When I was a little boy, I was molested repeatedly by men in my family, in my immediate family, and in my extended family, and so I know that I am wounded." He said, "But this is the cross that our Lord has given me, and I know that He will work through it to bring something greater about because of it." And I was blown away that he would be able to see that with the eyes of faith. That he would know that our Lord would use that to sanctify him and bring about something greater from the evil that he had to suffer. My brothers and sisters, why did our Lord say to his apostles in this moment of revelation when he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And Simon Peter says, "You are the Christ of God." So they know for certain he is the Messiah. He says, "Do not tell anyone." Wasn't that their mission? Or wasn't that the reason he called them to be close to him? To go out and spread the word to the whole world? But they were not to do so until after he rose from the dead, so that no one would have a false understanding of who the Messiah was. That they would know that the Messiah was one who had to suffer and die before rising, so that anyone who chose to follow him would know that they also were called to die in order to rise. That he could say to them, "Whoever follows me is to lose their life in order to save it, to take up their cross daily and follow me." My brothers and sisters, how do we take up our cross daily? It is simply by living our faith. If you choose to be a faithful Catholic in the world today, you will suffer for being one. And the pain, it might not be bad. It might be little minor struggles. But even just the struggles within ourselves to turn away from sin, or the struggles socially to not be accepted if you're really going to live your faith. Not too long ago, I met a woman who is a Catholic doctor. And she's very specific about that. She's not a doctor first, she's a Catholic doctor. And she is an oncologist and a very gifted one. And she has grown in her faith in recent years. And so she came to ask me a question. She said, "Father, I need your advice on something. In oncology, there are times where I have to work with women who have breast cancer, who are still of childbearing age. And what you're supposed to do with anyone in that situation, because the medication they take could affect their fertility, indeed could make them infertile, you have to not only inform them of that, you are to recommend them to a place where they could have their embryos frozen, where they would go..." Well, I don't need to go into the practice, we're all familiar with it, right? And she said, "I realize that if I recommend that to them, I am cooperating in something that is not of God. Because for that conception to take place, for those eggs to be fertilized, an act of sin must happen first. And then those children are frozen, and many of them will be discarded. Human beings who are alive with souls that are eternal. And even when they are artificially inseminated, a number of them will be aborted or will not be able to survive. So I am responsible for abortions, and I never realized it. And I said, "You are correct." And she said, "If I come out publicly, I might lose my job for this. But Father, if that's what's necessary to follow Christ, I will do it." I one time had a woman who was a pharmacist, a Catholic pharmacist, who was dispensing artificial contraception and realized as she grew in her faith, "Oh my goodness, I can't do that. Even if I would never use it myself, I can't assist others in using it, or I am morally culpable. If it means my job for Christ to die for Him, I would accept that." My brothers and sisters, what is the reward of fidelity? It is God's blessings and eternal life. And oftentimes He blesses us in this world, right? I remember a number of years ago with Prop 8. My family received a phone call from a bishop in Southern California who was leading to get support for Prop 8 so that it would be passed. Yes, on Prop 8. And they called my family and they said, "We hear that you're a faithful Catholic family. Would you financially support us so that we can get more people behind this movement?" My family got together and they said, "Of course, you know, we'd be glad to." They never knew that because of that they would be blacklisted. That word would go out to everyone that this family business has helped to pass Prop 8. So there were picketers. There were people who lined up in numbers trying to get people to turn away from the business. You know what ended up happening? People came to the store in droves. There's another married couple, lives in a certain city in America. They own a market, a grocery store. They too, a Catholic couple, growing in their faith, realized, "Oh my goodness, we're not using contraception, but we're selling it." They were at a Catholic conference one weekend, then they both turned to each other at the same time, this revelation, "Oh my gosh, right, we didn't realize." But then they had a decision to make. That makes us a lot of money. A lot of people come to our store for that reason. If we stop selling it, what if we go out of business? Do they follow Christ or not? They chose to follow Him. Within 1 year, all the Protestant churches in the area, not because they supported that teaching of the Catholic Church, but because those Catholics were willing to witness to Christ, called out to all their faithful to support that store. Within 1 year, they opened a second grocery store. How do we follow Christ? His teachings come to us through Peter, the one apostle. When our Lord says, "Who do people say that I am?" knows the truth. You are the Christ. And down through the ages, it is in and through Peter that our Lord Jesus Christ continues to teach us. And I want to close with this. Last year, I was able to attend the installation of the new bishop in Lincoln, Nebraska. And Lincoln, Nebraska has one of the most thriving dioceses in the country. They have the highest percentage of priests per Catholic in their diocese. It's like one priest for every 10 Catholics. It's amazing. Their seminary is full. They have their own teaching order of sisters, their own diocesan teaching sisters. Catholic education is free in their diocese, all through grade school. High school, it's $1,000 per child if the family can pay it. When I was there for this installation, the Bishop Emeritus, the retired bishop, got up at the reception afterwards. And at these celebrations, there are three toasts that are made. One for the Holy Father, one for the church, and one for the new bishop. And so the Bishop Emeritus gets up to toast the Holy Father. And I remember sitting there, and there's 1,500 people in this auditorium. And I'm looking around and thinking, this is amazing, right? How is this diocese so on fire? And the bishop gets up and he says, I would like you all to raise your glass. We all lift up our glasses. And he says, to the Vicar of Christ, to the Rock, to the Supreme Pontiff, the 265th successor of St. Peter, the servant of the servants of God, the Bishop of Rome, His Holiness Pope Benedict. And there was not a dry eye in the room. And I saw why the diocese is flourishing. Because their shepherd is leading them to be faithful to the supreme shepherd whom our Lord Jesus Christ has appointed to guide us to salvation. May we do the same.